Talking with Senator Jerry Moran from the state of Kansas. Senator, as we go through the last few weeks, we've obviously had a lot of preoccupation with the super committee process. We're staring at a huge deadline for them of the end of November. What are you seeing right now with that group of 12? Are they going to be able to make this initial deadline of November 23rd?
I am really pessimistic that that's the case. And it does seem to me like there is an impasse, and the opportunities are quickly disappearing. But I also would tell you that there is a number of senators who have now come together to encourage that select committee not to give up, not to miss this opportunity. And so the pressure has increased as a result of what appears to be soon to be failure. So there is still hope. In my view, it's important for that committee to work. It certainly would send a message, finally, to the American people and to the economic markets that Congress understands we have a significant deficit problem, that Republicans and Democrats got to find a solution to it, and that no result is not an option. There's also, of course, then the fear that if they fail, what the sequestration means in regard to agriculture and many other programs.
Right. We were talking just a moment ago that you really are not necessarily in the loop on this on these ag negotiations. I know that you obviously you have a relationship though with Frank Lucas as well as with Senator Roberts. Is this a good idea? What they are pursuing to try to get this farm legislation under this super committee umbrella?
Well, I would answer that question more intelligently if I knew what the end result was going to be. If it's a good end result, I'd absolutely would say yes. But just generally, I think the theory is that this committee will be able to reach a better conclusion than Congress could do in an election year in 2012. I'm reluctant to agree with that. I mean, I understand why people would say that, but I'm a believer that members of Congress were elected to make decisions. It's not deferring to a 12-person committee. It's not hoping that there's an easy way out. We ought to have a farm debate, and we ought to have a discussion about what a farm bill should look like, and we ought not defer to 12 people, particularly, in my view, 12 people who have little understanding of what agriculture, what rural America is like. There's few representatives of middle America, middle of the country, on that committee. And, of course, I'm very supportive, have faith in Frank Lucas and his efforts to try to find a recommendation for that committee. But in my view, every member of Congress ought to be involved in the debate about this important policy about food, fiber, and energy to meet our country and the world's needs.
You've been in the middle of a little bit of a controversy with the USDA and a hearing or a set of some, kind of a conference seminar, if you want, whatever you want to call it, with APHIS in regards to allowing HSUS some latitude on what sort of a program is going to be there. Where do we stand on this?
Well, I did want to point out to the Department of Agriculture and to my colleagues a memo that we saw where an undersecretary at the Department of Agriculture is, in a sense, delegating to the Humane Society the opportunity to determine the nature of a animal welfare forum that the department would be holding. That doesn't seem to me to be a very good idea. And what was particularly troublesome is producer groups, veterinary medicine, are not included in the creation or the planning of that forum. So we will have the opportunity, in addition to the select committee doing its work, there's also the Agricultural Appropriations Bill, now passed by both the House and Senate. A conference committee has been appointed, and I'm a member of that. So we have the opportunities, of course, if we can get the votes, to say no money can be spent to do certain things. And we're always looking for these kind of crazy ideas that this department or any other government agency comes up with that Congress can say, you can't do this because we're not giving you the money.
How close are we done on the conference for approach?
There are three bills. One of them is agriculture that's included in this conference report. Conferees, members of the House and Senate leadership have been appointed. The conference committee has met once, and staff at some level have made a number of at least tentative decisions, and members now are having those conversations about what remains important to us. I have an expectation that the conference report will be concluded that there will be one. There was initial thought that it would happen this next week, and included in that would be the continuing resolution to fund government from November to December. It doesn't appear to me that this conference is going to come together that quickly, and so this is going to linger for weeks yet to come.
Two things kind of embedded in that. One is the funding regarding the GPSA marketing rule. The other is the biosecurity lab, the bioterrorism lab in Manhattan. How are we going to come? You know, where do we stand on those?
Certainly the negotiations and discussions on NBATH, the biosecurity lab to be built, that's being built as we speak in Kansas, is a point of contention. It seems to me that we have the opportunity to move forward, perhaps not as rapidly as we'd like, but I think funding will be available in order for that process to continue, the construction to continue. In regard to GPSA, and I spoke on the Senate floor about this recently, and I don't know how this one gets resolved. The House has taken the position that we're going to take a step back, and the Department of Agriculture should not implement those GPSA rules. The Senate didn't speak to this issue. I went to the Senate floor to talk about the what I've asked Secretary Vilsack to commit to, which he has not done, is that when the economic analysis is done, that the comment period is still open so that we can make, we as members of Congress, but more importantly, the livestock industry, can make an analysis, understand that analysis, and make comments again before the department finalizes its rules. That just seems like good government, a smart thing to do. Is why do the economic analysis if you're already going to have the rules in place? So it clearly is, in my view, the opportunity should be there to tell the department to slow down. But I'd hope the department would just do that on its own.
One other area, Department of Labor seems to be wanting to change some of the child labor law, rules within that Fair Labor Act that's already been there for quite a while. Non-agricultural entities have little opportunity to use anybody under 16. Agriculture's been exempt. They want to take that exemption away.
It does certainly seem that the Department of Labor is moving in that direction. We're trying to study their proposed regulations. We've asked with a number of my colleagues in a letter to the Secretary of Labor, once again, to slow down. You've asked farmers to comment during a period of time that's basically fall harvest. These proposed rules have significant consequences on a way of life, upon involving family members in their own farm as well as working for a neighbor, and certainly significant to me, reduces the opportunities that FFA, 4-H, Extension have in providing safety education and involving young people in agriculture today. We have a great challenge in providing the next generation of producers in this country, and the Department of Labor, certainly in my view, does not take into account the nature of how we live our lives in rural America, the importance of agriculture, and the value to passing on a farming operation from one generation to the next. The Department of Labor has agreed to delay or continue its comment period for an additional 30 days. That's fine, but it's probably not significant. And the real issue here is whether these rules make any sense. And we're looking at those rules, and we've reached the conclusion that not only that there is some suggestion that it doesn't affect family members. If it's your family's farm, that you would not be affected by these proposed rules. We don't think that's true at all. And in fact, the Department of Labor is proposing the changing of a definition of what a family farm is. So even our own kids may not qualify. And here's what they're suggesting, or what they're requiring, is that the safety course be conducted by the Department of Labor, something we don't have an office in every county across our country. So we'd be waiting for the Department of Labor to provide a safety course when we already have in place 4-H, Extension, FFA, other opportunities that make a lot more sense to rural agriculture. And so one of the last things we need is any attack upon those kind of basic organizations that are important to us. Also, something troublesome about this Department of Labor, even if you get the safety permit, you are prevented, even if you have gone through the course, you are prevented from working on the livestock side of agriculture if the activity has anything to do with inflicting harm to an animal. First of all, one would suggest that it's pretty much excluding anybody from being involved in livestock aspect of agriculture as a young person. But it's very troublesome to me that those words about inflicting harm upon an animal, That doesn't seem like it comes from the Department of Labor and concern about the safety of a young person. Seems more like we're getting the language of an animal rights kind of position into the Department of Labor's thought process as they developed these rules.